שלום לכם, אתם מצטרפים אלינו?
Hello, you're joining us for a series of conversations with Dr. Lightman. We are here in the studio simulating a situation where Dr. Lightman is teaching a class of people from any country in the world, possibly the country they live in or the organization they work in, have decided that it's good for them to study from Dr. Lightman everything that's necessary to know for life. Join us. You'll probably have what to learn. So, please, Dr. Lightman. Today... Sorry. Today I'd like to speak a bit about the condition the condition that nature presents before us, as we talked about on our previous conversations, that we have to reach love among all people, 7 billion people in the world. And this is a necessary condition. Is it really so? Can we keep this? Can we do this? And if we really achieve even a part of it or somehow will advance toward it, we will reach a state where every time we'll see how it works for our benefit, changes us and our environment and our life for the better. When we talk about our nature, the nature we're in, we see that nature, the nature of each one of us, is to care for himself. And a person can't think about anything else. In all of our things, in all that we do, we see that if we learn this, if we examine this, we need energy to move, to do anything, that if I pass my hand from one place to another, even the smallest motion, I have to waste energy on it. And this energy can exist and be at my disposal as long as I get some kind of a benefit as a result, meaning the condition for any inner movement in atoms, molecules, in the motion of the body, in the mind, in the heart, in whatever, demand to see a good situation that will happen as a result, as a sum total of the process that took place. And this is how I relate to everything in life. There are things that I do. There are certain actions which I perform instinctively. I sit now. I'm not thinking whether I should sit this way or that way, or how should I sit, how to talk. It all happens by this inner calculation. In most of our cases and in most of our actions, there is an egoistic desire to feel good. And I see this as a result of all of my actions. And the hope to feel better actually works and places me every time in a certain situation. Where do I go? Whatever I do, when I speak to any person, the way I hold myself. All of these things are only in order to achieve the best possible things, to improve my situation. I want to sleep, eat, go on a trip. I have to work in order to achieve something, in order to attain something. And all of these things are only in order to achieve some kind of a benefit. And this is my entire life, how to achieve the greatest possible benefit and to suffer as least as possible and to fulfill myself as much as I can. Now, how can I fill myself? Here is a result of my education, the influence of the environment, the values that I got, that these are better, those are less, and accordingly, the habit also becomes a second nature, that this is how I become accustomed to things. It's a habit, and I have to keep these things this way, even if it's not natural. In this way, I exist. I did lots of things in life, many actions, not because I want it. To begin with, I wouldn't have wanted it, but it's society, it's my parents, it's my educators that accustomed me to it, and then I do it automatically. I don't even need to think about it, but the body simply does it, and that's it. There are certain things that I do because I have to do them by an inner effort where I convince myself that it's worthwhile. The clock rings. I have to get up even though I want to keep on sleeping. I go to work. I work. Maybe it's hard work. That doesn't interest me. But nonetheless, I know that after I exert myself, I go back home. I have a warm home, I have relatives, I have family, and I can rest, and I can feel myself well. So I have to pay for this good feeling, so I invest. All of my actions that I do in connecting with these people and distancing from other people are also in order to achieve, all in all, a better atmosphere, to come closer to these and to distance myself from those, meaning I'm constantly concerned about how to feel better. That's my nature, and that's the nature of each one of us, and that nature is called the living level, meaning both the still, the vegetative, and the living, the animate, are constantly drawn to a better feeling, to a better state, where it seems to them, to all of these creatures, that this is a balanced state, that they don't feel pressure, or they're not pulled in any direction, but they're in harmony with what seems to them as a better life. And so, turns out that my whole life, I am preserving the law of how to feel better. That's the condition. That's the condition in which we exist. My egoistic nature constantly aims me at that. And here comes a question. If I'm so concerned about myself my whole life, and internally, instinctively, and also consciously, where it's action, I take a calculation before I perform some action, how can I change my nature for the very opposite, to love others? Because to love others, it means that I think about someone else. Where my entire body, all of my abilities, all that I have altogether, all the means, they are in order to serve the other. Nothing left for me besides that point of that desire to bestow onto others, and in that constant concern of others for them to feel better. And it's similar to a mom taking care of her baby. The mom's nature aims her to constantly care and care and care for the baby, and she has nothing in life besides how will these few kilograms of flesh will feel better, how to feed him, how to clean him, how to put him to sleep, and so on and so forth, for him to feel ever better, and there is no other concern. And if to take an example for it, that if I have to relate to the whole of humanity this way, then it's something unrealistic. And we talk about it, we say that nature possibly puts before such a condition, then if so, why did we reach a completely opposite state where we are constantly caring for ourselves? And furthermore, this is how animals are in a state where they constantly care for themselves. A person, furthermore than the living level, the animalistic level, animate level, works so that he wants to benefit off others. He wants to use them. He wants to necessarily influence him by his powers, by his understanding, his knowledge. He wants to bend them for them to be beneath him. He enjoys being higher than others. He even enjoys that others feel a bit bad from him, that he is in a preferable situation to them. He constantly examines himself with respect to others, measures himself with respect to others, and only in this examination of he with respect to the environment does he find out, scrutinize, how well off is he, how good does he feel in relation to others. So if our ego brought us to a state where I want to feel higher than everyone, that I need all the others only in order to feel that I'm better, higher than they are, how could we change that nature and reach the opposite state? Possibly, if I'll fantasize for myself, imagine this utopian state where really I care for others and by this I feel good, like a mother towards her baby, that suppose I'll have love towards them, like a mom towards her baby, and I'll constantly care for them, maybe I'll feel complete, whole, perfect self-realization. But to achieve this, I don't see any way to do this, to achieve it. Why will I obligate myself to that? And humanity, really, for thousands of years, thought about it. Many books were written about it. They tried to do things like this. People tried doing things like this. Tried to make a nice circles, organizations, nice organizations throughout the history of humanity. Even hundreds of years ago, there were such attempts of the utopians who wanted to build such small places like villages or even cities or even countries maybe, in which it will be possible to exist in this nice kind of attitude between man and others. But these things, they weren't realized, and through our development we became smarter, we further studied and understood man's nature, and we see that we understood that we're incapable of it. We're incapable of transcending our own nature. Maybe it's possible. Maybe it's good. Maybe we will achieve something good in this kind of a society, but to build such a society is impossible. It's something utopian. And what we did all in all in human society is that we limit ourselves by laws, by the laws of behavior, not to harm others that much. We have lawyers, we have accountants, we have sociologists, we have psychologists, politologists that organize the laws of society, and we connect between ourselves, but in order to serve ourselves for the service to be better. Suppose like we do with the municipality in each and every city, where they make sure that there's order in the city, that the trash is taken out, and to build kindergartens, cultural places, education, and so on. So we're ready to take the needs of each and everyone into consideration. It's worth for a while for us to be a part of this, because each one of us pays a small sum, and a result of this will get, all of us will be much better off. And we get some kind of a benefit that we can calculate, and it really pays off. Whereas, if we talk about changing man's attitude towards others, considering others, that's impossible if we talk about it emotionally. And thus we reach a very special situation today in understanding the crisis that we're in. where this crisis is very strange. It's actually a crisis of the relations between us, where all of the egoistic forms that we were in and that we were drawn to build society ever more convenient for everyone and taking everyone into consideration. We understand that if there is someone unsatisfied, then there will be a vast amount of people who are unsatisfied against the amount of people who are satisfied. So there's going to be sort of a collision between them up to the point where each one will want to destroy the others, and then we'll reach probably brotherly love in our society. Meaning we understood that our ego constantly needed some kind of good reins for us not to eat each other up. Not reins, but restrain. A rein, yeah. And we were always under this egoistic umbrella. We understood that this is our nature, and we had to sustain ourselves, keep ourselves somehow, that even though that the world is diverse egoistically, but it demands some kind of one mechanism so that we will not reach such outbreaks by which we simply kill and destroy everything that we came to. And so humanity has reached the World Bank and the UN and different international organizations, mutual consideration lately, or in the past 100 years or so, we understood that there is no choice, that we have to nevertheless be considerate of each other, because the sum total of all of these recent wars, the world wars that we've experienced, they teach us that no one benefits from it, that no one comes out a winner, but eventually everyone loses and pay for it dearly. So humanity has created different circles of connections and so on. There is even kind of a red button, Moscow or in Washington, where they can talk between themselves in threatening situations for the whole world. If the world is about to explode, to be exploded by atom bombs, then they talk between themselves, and there is even some kind of a trust between them. Why trust? Because they understand that no one will really come out well out of it, where he benefits something. And then, as a result of these arms, you can build from the understanding that there is no choice, some kind of connection and but this is egoistic on the one hand. On the other hand, this brings us closer together, that even though we hate and want to kill each other, we start understanding that the other has the same powers, and it's good for us to take the other into consideration. And then a further egoistic development happened, deep and profound, by the connection in the industry and commerce, international industry and commerce, trade, where the developed countries, they started understanding that if they, the hosts, the bosses, if they move their factories, supposed to China, to India, to some other places, then there they can get workers 10 times cheaper than in their country. And then gradually they move their factories to the third world. People studied there and put together their and assembled their factories there. And so it turns out that even though on the one hand they earned more, but their countries were emptied, depleted of content, because suddenly there were many unemployed, but the factory owner What does he care that there are many unemployed people as a result of him his opening his factory otherwhere? But what does he care? That's the problem, that the country's problem, not my problem. So it turns out that the country has to take care of those millions of people who have no means for life, who can't make a living. And so the country also becomes poorer. The country is starting getting into debt. They start printing money under which there is no value. Previously, money was tied to gold, to different to merchandise, to things of value. Today, no more. And the countries, specifically the big developed countries in Europe and in America, suddenly they began to be the poor countries with a poor population where it's not yet felt. But it is revealed ever more, and it accumulates and reveals ever more. And the worst thing about it is that the owners of the factories of international industry, which became ever richer by holding their factories in the poorer countries, being able to get a 10-time greater profit than before, they became powerful, and when they became powerful, they started influencing their governments in Europe and in America. And so it turned out that man's ego, money, rose to the top of the pyramid in humanity. And those are the people who started controlling everything. And by this, eventually, we have reached the financial crisis, the economical crisis. This is our last crisis. And here, we don't only come to an economical crisis. I told a bit about it, just a bit. There's a possibility to give a very long and vast explanation about this, but it's not a part of our teaching, but only to explain what does the ego bring us to, the situations the ego brings us to. And along with it, because society was destroyed, because many people are helpless, in poverty, and the developed countries that existed in the past, then also the education is neglected. And all in all, relations in society, and eventually we come to the general global crisis where we see that the connection between everyone, it became so obligating towards everyone that both the rich countries and also the poor countries, but that are now manufacturing, producing most of the world's products, they are, on the one hand, in a necessitating mutual connection, because all which is made in the third world, it has to be bought by the developed old world. But there are no more buyers now, because in the meantime, people were depleted of their means. And so the crisis, it goes and grows and deepens ever more. And here we come to a global world, to the global connection between us, along with the eco blow, where running around trying to get out as many products as we can and to sell them mainly as long as we make a fortune, and he, the one who has more billions in the bank, he's more successful, then we reach a state where truly there is no, it's endless. We thought that it's endless, but the end has come. There are no more buyers, and it turns out that there's no further place to advance to. So the crisis is both in finance and in education and in people having a very hard time to exist. Everyone does. And in that, the part that wants to create these things, they have to, the ability and the ability to advance, but there's no one to buy all these things. And the part that was depleted of their means, the developed countries, they don't have the ability to be consumers anymore, because in the past, they used to both create and use what they make, what they create. So they had like this closed cycle of products and money. And now it gave some kind of a false solution to the rich people that started playing with the money even without a product behind them, and a great economical bubble was created that we won't talk about this now. Maybe we'll have a separate conversation about it. And this is how we reached another kind of a crisis, an economical crisis that are tasteless on the inside, but that everything is inflated by advertising and a game between the financial systems, between the banks. All in all, we have reached a state where from all of the fields that humanity is engaged in education, in relations between people, in family, which also the current situation truly influences the situation in the family, people can no longer exist. They are in a critical state. Now, I read, and I also saw it with my very own eyes when I was in Spain, that people in the ages after university, educated people that finished universities in Europe, they come back from Europe, they come back home to Spain, and there they want to make a family and be successful, each one in his own profession. Each one has a desire to realize himself in whatever he studied, and to have a family, a home, everything that a person needs. Suddenly they find themselves where no one needs them, and they can neither realize themselves, neither in a project, nor in their family, nor in anything, nor in any other kind of normal life, but they are as unemployed, and they're simply cancelled, and this extends around the whole world, and there is no correction for this, because in a situation where I care only for myself and I don't care for the world, I can't provide these people with their basic needs, because we don't care for each other, and thus we have great surplus that are being thrown on the one hand, and this surplus cannot reach the other side of the world, and maybe even close to those, maybe it's close to those places where the surplus is, but my ego doesn't give me the ability to care for others. What do I care? Unless I'm threatened by them, then because I have no other choice, maybe we'll provide them with something. We also see this in how the developed world relates to Africa. Its attitude toward Africa, which was once successful, producing many things and had natural resources and really developed nicely. Whereas when different products from Europe started making their way there, and these products were 10 times cheaper than those made there, made locally. So it destroyed the local market, and people stopped producing all that they need for life there in their own places, in their own countries. And to the extent to which they stopped working in their professions and in their places, then there came this situation where those companies that earlier brought all of their products to Africa 10 times cheaper, they started raising the prices. They have no longer any competition in the local market. And so the Africans became poor, and really they had no means. They couldn't exist. And this is how it is to this day. These are very, very hard states all around the world. And we can say a lot about all of these things. Only maybe we'll do it more elaborately, more deeply in separate conversations. So now when we come to the total global crisis, where all around the world we feel, both in the developed countries, also in the countries of the third world, where they as if started developing in part of them in Asia, or that they've reached poverty, like in Africa, all this that was caused by the ego, by man's ego. Besides this, we start feeling the connection between everyone, that actually everyone is in one boat. And if someone will cause some kind of harm, then everyone will feel it, and we can no longer advance, because we have actually reached a state where our ego returns to all of us like a boomerang in a negative response. We can see it in a very special way in Europe, where those very countries that started connecting between them according to whatever it is beneficial for them to be connected in, to be more successful, more powerful, they built connections between them. And the connections between them were closed, locked, such that now it's impossible to undo that connection. You can't break it. And the letting go of each one of these of the systems in one of these countries, there are about 30 countries there, causes a collapse, and such a collapse that instead of the common market, common industry, some kind of a society, common bank, and also the euro, the general currency, also, nonetheless, we see that the situation is threatening, such that it is forbidden for anyone to move without concession, without consent from others. And here we reach a necessity where we must start taking each other into consideration, even though there is a great rejection and a long history between us of wars and outbreaks. And in the past, we made many such tragic actions towards each other. There are people who really slaughtered, butchered each other throughout history, and more than once they ruled each other by the power of the sword. And here we reached a state where really there is no choice, because of the lack of consideration, because of the great tear. We have no choice, and we must reach a state where we not only take each other into consideration, it's not enough for us. We see that it doesn't work. We see that in the common market, we can't keep on working according to the laws of our nature, according to the laws of finance or economy that we have built as a result of our egoistic nature. It no longer works. But really, the general global nature, like the whole ecology, the particular nature, also from within, inside a person, and also from the outside, from surrounding nature, we see that we're facing a condition that it's not only that we have to reach consideration, egoistic consideration will no longer help. We have to reach love of others. It's very hard to say these words because they are very unrealistic. They're very far from us, are not accepted by our hearts, these words. Like we said before, we can nevertheless come closer to this, but by building a force that will obligate us to do this instead of nature, that necessitates us to reach love for others, necessitates us to reach reciprocal love. If not, then we'll truly undergo great calamities, blows by nature. We need another force that will obligate, necessitate us forcefully, that will obligate us to reach mutual love. And what force could that be? We already talked about that, that it can come only from the environment, that we organize it such that it obligates us more than nature does, and economy, and education, and the lack of food, and so on. For this society to be so strong that it will stand against our hearts, that it will make us forcefully change our attitude toward others from hate to love, from one end to the other. And this is why we have to work a lot, sweat a lot, in order to understand what kind of a society should it be. It has to encourage us in good ways, in a good attitude, by good powers, or it has to punish us for anything that we do which does not bring us closer to each other. Does it have to raise the values of mutuality, participation, mutual guarantee, up to the point where love shall break out between us, burst out between us? How do we have to constantly study human nature so that correspondingly we'll ever more develop the influence of the environment over each one of us? So he will be obligated to participate and will know why to change. So he'll be obligated to change, and he'll know why he'll change, and he'll find the powers to change, and will also find prizes for it as to why and what for. The very same way I move my hand from one place to another, it's not that big of an action, but I need energy for that. Here too, as have to feel it coming from nature, where hatred or competition or distance or rejection, which I cause to the other, to the fellow person, will bring me great resistance, that it will be hard for me to do that. And the other way around, the good approach, mutual consideration, aravut, mutual guarantee, and love will be what I will get my force from, my fulfillment from. And correspondingly, we have to build an environment that will provide me with these two forces. The bad force as a response for my ego, and the good force as a response for love toward others. And so in building such an environment, we have to take the quantitative and qualitative force into consideration to persuade and hug and threaten each one of us and all of us together, so that in our mutual participation in building this environment, we actually build the new nature that will influence us. We, as if, complete the egoistic force that controls all of human nature. We complete it by the good altruistic force that is absent. And because we are in necessity toward that, then here everything depends only on how we get organized, meaning to the extent to which we'll obligate ourselves, we will work on ourselves and convincing each other by the media, by the different systems that are at our disposal. And thus, here comes this word, this magical word called the mutual guarantee, that we have to be excited by the connection between us that in the meantime is egoistic, obligating, that already now, even negatively, we are responsible for each other. That anyone who drills a hole in the boat, in our boat, he is really, he sinks everyone along with himself in an ocean of ego, and all of us sink in the ocean of our ego and disappear. And so our arvut, it begins with us learning how our environment is an environment that teaches us the basic needs in which we are in an egoistic connection, and the basic needs in which we have to pass all of our forms of integral connection onto altruistic rails. And thus, in the word mutual guarantee, we have to feel like in a family where each one is responsible for others, because if he relates to others good or bad, that's the corresponding result that he gets. And everyone influences everyone, and specifically from learning about the bad relation between us, but from the tight connection between us, we have to, bit by bit, reach a new kind of awareness that we have to build a good connection. And by this, we will understand that nature, which advanced us this way in this development for thousands of years, brings us to a state called a crisis, where really its inner essence is the new birth of humanity, so that we will reach that very inner force existing in nature, the power of love, and will come to balance with nature, that we will be exactly in that same force as exists in the general nature, and thus nature can create, make all substance, still, vegetative, animate, the man, from the power of love, can give life. And if now we are going to acquire this power of love, and love another as thyself, then by this, we actually buy the general law of the whole of nature. And by this, we come to the implementation, realization of the general law, where the realization, in the realization of this law, we, in order to realize it, we had to be in a state opposite to it, to feel how bad it is to be in a state which is opposite to it, so that when now we attain it, we'll understand how exalted and strong and eternal and whole, perfect it is. And then as a result of these contradictions, where we ascend from the great ego to great love, we will actually feel the whole difference between them, and then from this difference we will feel the perfection, eternity, the greatness of the entire process that we went through. Why? Because everything in life, we come to it, we attain it, achieve it, appreciate it, only in one against the other. There's no good without bad, there's no sweet without sour, and so on. Without bitter. So the same here, all the forms that we enjoy, we also talked about it, that we always measure ourselves with respect to others. The main thing is that I'll be a bit better off than others. And it doesn't matter that I simply feel good. There's no such thing as to simply feel good. I can live in a cave, but that my cave is nicer than the neighbor's cave. I can live really for pennies a day, but when I have a penny more than the neighbor. This gives a person his psychological fulfillment to succeed. And here, that law works, the law that if we come to love, we measure it with respect to the previous hatred, and then we feel how much we have earned, gained, grown, how our fulfillment, how great our fulfillment now is compared to the situations we went through in history that all exist in our general collective memory of humanity. And then we really reach pleasure and full fulfillment. Thus, the realization of this condition of loving or love of others, for others, is a condition to bring a person to a perfect state, to pleasure, to perfect fulfillment. And the energy to make these actions and moving the hand from one place to another and moving ourselves from ego to love, it comes to us from two sides. On the one side, nature that necessitates us by the blows, by all of its existence. And on the other hand, the positive force of the environment that pulls us, that we build it artificially, and it pulls each one of us so that we will really merge into this environment in a reciprocal way, in the form of arvut and in the feeling of love. And so, by undergoing our entire history, we actually underwent feeling the law of love that exists in nature the way it is, and all of the other forms until we reach the realization of that law inside us are only forms in order to acknowledge their negativity, that they have no purpose, that to acknowledge the great shattering in which we are, in order to build among ourselves, within ourselves, that beautiful mechanism called man. This conversation. It's according to Bala Salam's article. I don't remember how it's called. ensure that the love of others is the general law, or love the Creator or something. From love the creatures to the love of Creator. Yeah, maybe that. That this is the general law. Okay, question. Yes. You said here that this environment that we have to build, create, it as if actually needs to taint us. That treating others nicely is something which is beneficial for me. So how is it different than taining a dog? If I have a candy and a stick, then it's like taming animals. You're right in your question. Only what you're wrong about is in your assumption about it. Who taints the dog? That's a question coming from me. The dog himself. I don't get it. Man builds an environment that changes him from hatred to love. Man measures himself, learns, studies the laws of nature, studies himself, human society. How is he supposed to be? How should the relations between everyone be? And correspondingly, he builds the environment. He adapts himself to it. He taints himself. It's true, it's possible to use this word, to say it this way, but as a result of him being a dog, tainting himself, he becomes the owner of that dog. He becomes a human. Yes. This is the trick. How do we make a human being out of ourselves? Because it's not simply that we're still vegetative animate and another egoistic development. Wait a second, I don't get it. You said a trick. The trick is that we have to make a man out of ourselves. We have to give birth to him. We have to grow him within ourselves. And not someone foreign. We get egoistic forces. We get everything. But we form the system to educate us, and we have to do it ourselves. I elevate myself through the degrees of love. I myself change the environment, and the environment changes me. And this is how we work together. I check, I examine, what does it mean, the improved, corrected I? On an advanced stage, one and another one and another one, so I build an environment that will influence me for me to advance. I can't do it myself. A prisoner can't release himself from prison. I can't drag myself out of the swamp I'm in by the hair. Only on condition that I build a foreign force outside of me, and such a force that will not allow me to escape, in which I exist reluctantly, that will necessitate me by good or by bad. And on the other hand, from nature in general, I see that I have no choice. I can't escape it. Nature is giving us a general condition of this crisis, that you are on your way to destruction. You have no choice. This is what nature presents us with. Our general situation. Now, within this general situation, we have to further build all these good states ourselves by using the influence of the environment over man. But it is we who build society, and each time examine who are we, what are we, what nature are we in, which character are we in, what are our inclinations, tendencies, and correspondingly I build an environment against it that will influence me, so that will necessitate me, and I want it to necessitate me. I beg, make me better, educate me. And society has to every time put before me a candy or a stick where I have no choice. And I myself agree with the candy and the stick. It doesn't come to me simply, necessarily, like onto a beast. Thus, we say that the education has to come first. A person has to understand that there's no choice, like we explain it to a child. You must get education. You must get schooling. You must otherwise you won't be able to understand what life is. We're advancing into a new world. You have no choice. And we have to be different in this new world. Each one of us and humanity in general, we have to relate to each other and relate to our environment. We have to persuade. This is the raising of the awareness. Any surplus or what a person has and what a person excels beyond the beast is his consciousness, the recognition of the universe and nature which is around him. We have to really achieve this consciousness and awareness ourselves, and that means to build a human being. And so it's true that we're dogs, but we have the ability to tame ourselves by ourselves. And then we, from a dog, become the owners of the dog. We become a human being. And this dog is my ego that gets the opposite wrapping, a good wrapping. Once dogs were wolves, then man took them and throughout many generations tamed them, and they are now next to him because they're devoted to him. That same creature was turned from an enemy, from a hater, into a friend, into a lover. This is also how I relate to myself now, like a dog that I really have to change. So I divide myself in two. A new consciousness, which is called the human part about me, and my ego, which is the dog. And this is how, by relating this way to myself, I build myself anew. And this is why we first of all have to pass on these necessary points about the integral education to each and every person, for him to understand that here there is some kind of a special process in creating a special reality where we really build a human being. You are called man. Okay, what is our summary for today? Our summary for today is that the law of love another as thyself is the general law of nature that we have to reach, that we have to come to, and we come to it today in our times because we have reached a state where really we're ready for correction. Because our ego came to its end in its development. And now, by the additional foreign force, external force, which we build ourselves in society, to influence our ego such that it will get a human form. And by this, we come to the realization of the general force in nature and discover the entire depth of nature, its eternity, its vitality, its extent, its the general harmony about it, where we gradually also separate from the life of the dog and we come to a life on the human level. We relate ourselves with the human level, such that our body and this whole life and what we went through in history is only as a kind of an introduction, a preparation for what we are about to achieve now. And so we look at the whole situation that we're in like a situation of birth, of labor pains, and a new enlightened world. Good luck. Thank you very much. Good luck. And come to our next meeting. Till then.